Next time we invite you for a holiday show, you better play a holiday song.
Maybe do it twice.
Ouch. Maybe do it twice, right? Yeah.
Wow.
Mike Stewart.
Oh, man.
Mike Stewart, thank you for all you do.
Hey, you know, somebody has to fall down, you know? That's my job.
Yeah.
I'm glad, you know, all my friends, I have to seriously give a shout out. A lot of friends have helped me. I've had some bad stuff happen to me. And I'm still on the side of the dirt, but like people like Mike Newman and all my friends, have been helping me. But I want to let people know that we'll be doing more stuff. We're going to have another live day in the spring.
Yep.
May 2nd, 2020.
Yeah, we're going to probably do an acoustic live thing this summer, and there'll be some more Boston Women Rock. So,
yeah, Monday night we're doing something, aren't we?
We're going to do some interviews. We're going to interview Peter Dayton from La Peste and Richie Parsons from A Natural Axe and a bunch of bands. So that's happening Monday here at WMFO 91.5.
And what in Medford.
And what time is that Monday?
8 o'clock.
Okay.
P.M. All right.
Cassidy, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me again, Mike.
Yeah.
You and Sue both.
Thank you. It's so nice to have you here because you come with music. And
that's
right. It's just great.
B-Y-O-M.
You guys begged me.
And we did. And Sue Edelman. Thank you very much for hosting with me yet again.
Yes.
Score some more touchdowns.
It's always fun to hang out with my brother from another mother.
Yep. It's wonderful for us Jews to play Christmas music.
I know, right? We have to entertain all our Goyisha friends.
What? We shouldn't?
All right. It's just outnumbered all day.
It's just after 4 o'clock on WMFO Medford. Stay tuned for Shukri Wright's spectacular sports talk show here at WMFO. Leave you with Elton John.
Have a happy holiday.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Bye-bye.
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 I'm
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Shukri Wright Show special edition. Early start day today at 4 o'clock. We usually are on at 5, but today, filling in for the acoustic ceilings. Happy holidays, everybody. Let's get the show started. Take care. Happy Saturday to you, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your holidays weekend. Because, after all, here we are on Winter Solstice Day. And already, as I look outside the window, outside the WMFO studios, the sun is going down. And we have Patriots football that's actually starting up in a matter of minutes. Amazingly enough, believe it or not, today, there's a game. Normally, there isn't a game on a Saturday, but today, for whatever reason, the NFL decided to flex the Buffalo Bills versus the New England Patriots game into a 4:25, 4:30 start. So today, we are actually hosting the show at the same time there's a Pats game. First time that's happened, actually. So, with that being said, for those that are listening and that are making their way to the game or heading out wherever in Boston or across New England to wherever you watch the Pats or whatever, and those that tune in, thank you for making this show part of your Saturday afternoon. We're going to spend the first 20 minutes or so, you know, talking about the game and the importance and what to look out for today's matchup. Now, today is one of those days where it gets you thinking, wow, the Pats, they're going to be playing tonight. You know, there's a lot at stake. You have the playoffs that are approaching, that starts in 2 weeks. And a lot of question marks that are surrounding a team that usually right around this time, those questions have already answered. But here's the problem. The problem is that those questions haven't really been answered. Now, to add a bit more drama to this game and so forth, I'm willing to dare someone to tell me the last time an AFC East matchup this late in the season has mattered so much and has mattered so much to the team as well as the AFC playoff picture in the AFC and so forth. I think the answer is it's been quite a while. It's been quite a while. And the last time the Pats have played the Bills in a meaningful game, I think this goes back to outside of the Brady Belichick era. You know, let me lay down the groundwork for what this game could potentially mean today for the New England Patriots. Number one, the Patriots, if they win this game today, they clinch the AFC East. But here's the asterisk. If they win and the Kansas City Chiefs win their game tomorrow night against the Chicago Bears, if they win, now we won't know until next week if the Pats will have a first round bye. However, if the Pats win and the Kansas City Chiefs lose tomorrow night on Sunday Night Football against the Chicago Bears, the Pats not only clinched the AFC East division title, but also to have a first round bye. They don't finish any worse than the number two seed in the AFC playoff standings. Call into the show, wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing on this late Saturday afternoon, now entering Saturday evening here in the greater Boston area in New England, at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Now, as for the Patriots, as it currently stands, you and I know that these last few weeks, especially going back to that Sunday night game, week 9 against the Baltimore Ravens, there have been some major question marks surrounding this team. One of them being, what is their record going to be when they play 500 teams or better? The record so far hasn't been very good at all. And what makes it even more alarming is that in the stretch in which they played Baltimore, the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Texans, they've beat only the Eagles. They've lost to Kansas City. They lost to Baltimore, and they also lost to Houston. So that tells me one of two things. Their 8-0 record is a bit more of an asterisk slash. They're 8-0, but they beat up on bad teams, which is what good teams are supposed to do. But here's the issue. Here we are in week 16, and although they had a good win against the Cincinnati Bengals, you still have those that are great. They won, but it was the Cincinnati Bengals. Am I supposed to feel any better about this team? Am I supposed to feel any better in regards to the offense? I'm not so sure. And if I'm being completely honest with you, fanhood aside, I'm not sure if I feel real good about this offense either. The thing I keep hearing in regards to Patriot fans in terms of especially this game, but remember last year you had somewhat of a running game with Sony Michel. This year, what running game? What running game do you have? And let's keep it all the way 100 here. Brady's injury is a concern, but it's a bit more serious than what you and I had originally thought. It's the truth. According to a Sports Illustrated article that was published a couple of hours ago by Devon Clements, he wrote that, quote, according to NFL Network's Mike Giardi, Brady is dealing with lateral epicondylitis, also known as tennis elbow. So you're listening and you're wondering, what is that? Jessica Flynn of the Boston Sports Journal explained this morning what lateral epicondylitis is. Excuse me for the pronunciation of that last word. It's a little bit of a tongue twister. Lateral epicondylitis is an overused injury to the tendons that control the wrist and attach to the bony prominence of the outer if your palm is facing up part of the elbow. Flynn wrote, these tendons allow the athlete to extend or cock back up the wrist and spinate the forearm, rotate the palm up. Over time, the tendons can develop tiny micro tears from repetitive work, throwing, and the area around the bony attachment gets inflamed. Patients I see complain that they can't lift up a jug of milk or even a cup of coffee without pain. it hurts to shake hands or grip. End quote. We've been hearing for the last few weeks, especially the last 4 or 5 weeks in particular, that Brady's elbow has been an issue. Now, today, we have a better explanation as to what exactly is going on. Simply put, he has tennis elbow. And simply put, that explains why, for 5 straight games, Brady has had a completion percentage of 56%. That's not good. And it partially explains why he's overthrowing receivers, or he's underthrowing receivers, or his timing is off. But we're not going to turn this into an excuse-making machine here. That's not what we're going to do. What we are going to do is, as kickoff is in about maybe 15 minutes or so, what we are going to do is we're going to talk about what do the Patriots need to do today to beat the Buffalo Bills. Now, here's a question I'll pose to you. The question I pose to you is, when you look at these two teams as it currently stands, the Patriots 11-3, the Buffalo Bills 10-4, currently right now, what's the big difference between the two teams? Anybody want to tell me? Anybody? I don't think there's really that big of a difference at all. But the Patriots' defense is the best in the league. It is. However, Baltimore played you close when you last played them in week 4. And that's the part I feel that people are forgetting. If it wasn't for the 3 interceptions that Josh Allen threw in that game, we could very easily be talking about the Bills, at the very worst, being tied with New England for first place in the division right now. Amazing, isn't it? If we're going to be honest, oh yeah. And oh, by the way, the Bills' defense, 3rd in the NFL. But here's the difference between the Bills and the Patriots as it currently stands. Their running game, far and away better. Far and away better. They're 5th in the league in running the football. The Pats, in which that they've struggled running the ball, they're 19th. They're close to the bottom third of the league. And you've gotten nothing from Sony Michel up until this point. James White, who is supposed to be your second running back on the roster, he's probably better used as a receiving option at this point. Rex Burkhead is giving you nothing. So your running game, in which that you were able to use as an identity last season, is nowhere to be found. But here's the amazing part about New England. In spite of all of the issues that they've had in regards to throwing the ball with Brady, they're 9th in the league in passing offense. Amazing. You know something? Here's a kicker. Brady wasn't impressive in the last game against the Bills back in week 4. His completion percentage was below 50%. And to make matters worse, although we didn't really know it at the time, but it turned out it was a prelude of what was to come for this offense. The struggles that they've had this season as it became a repeating theme for this team. Defensively, great. Offensively, you're going to be challenged. So right now, as it currently stands, the Patriots versus the Bills, it wouldn't shock me if the Bills came into Foxborough and actually won a meaningful game. It wasn't. Here's why. For many years, people have overlooked the Buffalo Bills as, well, they're the little brother of the division. This year has been so different in terms of the Bills and what they've been able to do that, dare I say, minutes before our kickoff here on a late Saturday afternoon, entering Saturday night, that the Buffalo Bills are not to be overlooked. Do not overlook and underestimate this team by any stretch of the imagination. I am begging you, please, please don't. Don't do it. Because I'll tell you this right now. Defensively, for the Bills, they're capable of giving this Patriots offense trouble the same way that they were able to do so in week four. And especially now, knowing that Edelman is banged up, knowing that they're limited in terms of offensive weapons in the passing game, don't be surprised that this game is a low-scoring game. Like, neither team scores more than 13 points. Don't be surprised. Considering that the strength of both the Bills and the Pats is their defense. With the Patriots, number one in the league right now on defense, the Bills, they're third ranked. So it's going to be a defensive struggle all the way through and through. But I do want to tell you this, though. Although last week I was encouraged by some of the things that they were able to do offensively, but I still have concern. How much of a factor is Mohamed Sanu going to be in this game? That's one question I do have. And another question is, for a rookie receiver in N'Keal Harry, for him to do what he's been able to do, how much of a factor is he going to be for this game? In a game in which that there is absolutely monstrous playoff implications. That I do wonder. I absolutely wonder. But what I also do wonder is this. With all of that being said, how much of a factor is Brady's elbow going to play in this game and moving forward, and as well as how Belichick is going to call the plays offensively, or even Josh McDaniels for that fact of the matter? That remains to be seen. So I'm taking phone calls from here on out. From now until 6 o'clock, I'll be on the air. Call into the show at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Before we continue, I want to play a PSA brought to you by 91.5 FM WMFO. So stick around, and we'll be right back.
There's something very dangerous in your home. It could be hiding in a closet or waiting in the basement. It's not sharp or toxic or flammable, yet it helps send more people to the trauma center than any other household item.
Hey, hon, do me a favor and hold the ladder for me.
I have a better idea. Let's just call somebody to clean the gutters.
To scoop out a few leaves? I'll be down in a heartbeat. Whoa! Ow!
No!
Using a ladder might seem easy. Misusing one is even easier. Ask any of the 150,000 people who fell off their ladders into the trauma center last year alone. Don't let a do-it-yourself project do yourself in. For tips on ladder safety, visit orthoinfo.org, a public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, who want to keep your bones safe, strong, and well-connected.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tuskegee Farm Radio. We're going to continue to talk Pats until kickoff time, which is around 4:30. And one thing I want to mention real quick in terms of this game before this game starts is this. So far in 2019, Josh Allen, he's not some scrub either. You know, oftentimes we, as Pats fans, And even in some cases, in terms of the media, we'll look at Josh Allen. He's like, you know, he's just some scrub. But consider this. He has an 84.6 QBR rating, plus he has 18 touchdown passes and 9 interceptions. Not bad at all. But keep in mind the following, though. Keep in mind that Matt Barkley finished that game in that week for a loss for the Bills to the Pats, because Josh Allen was knocked out of the game due to injury. So that's also another thing you have to also look at as well. You know? So, with that being said, I'm going to say that the Pats win this game 13-10. It's not going to be a high-scoring game. The Patriots have had struggles offensively. I think it continues against the third-ranked defense in the league in today's game. But this game is going to come down to a key play on special teams for the Patriots. So that's where I'm going to go with this one. So with that being said, real quick, I want to give you a quick update as to what else is going on in the National Football League, as there's 3 games going on this Saturday. First one just went final. Houston has beat Tampa Bay 23-20. So Houston got the key road win today. So what does that mean in terms of the grand scheme of things in the AFC playoff picture? Allow me to tell you in just one moment. Right now, as it currently stands, the Houston Texans with the road win, we do know that they are the fourth seed. They are the fourth seed. But they did win. They won today. So they're now 10-5 on the season. So with that also being said, I do think it's also interesting that also note in terms of the Texans and how does that affect the Patriots, is that although they're a game and a half back as of right now, just moments before kickoff for the Pats game, that if Houston, they're going to be 10-5 going into the final week of the season next week, and the Pats, let's say for example, if the Pats lose, worst case scenario, they fall to 11-4, and the Texans are 10-5 currently, and let's say if Kansas City wins, that now means that Kansas City and Houston could be in play. Actually, and Buffalo could be in play for that number 2 seed in the first round bye next week. So you want to talk about layers of importance for the Patriots to win this game? Coming up in just a few, there it is. Houston already won. So the Pats have to do their work tonight. They have to get that W. In terms of the playoff standings we're talking about. Because remember, Buffalo is one game behind New England in the AFC division. Now if you were to look at the conference and so forth, As it currently stands, you have Buffalo at 10-4, Kansas City at 10-4, both a game behind New England. And let's say, as I mentioned, the Pats lose and the Chiefs win tomorrow night. Now they're tied. It'll be a 3-way tie in the division. In the conference. Pardon me. In terms of the playoff positioning. So, if you're New England, this is a must-win game. It already was when the day started. Now, no place for margin whatsoever. You got to win this game, point blank. Coming up next, a little bit after we take this music break, we're going to talk about the Boston Bruins and what on earth is going on with this team in recent games. Because we're seeing a disturbing trend with this team, and it needs to be addressed. And we're going to talk about it in detail because you know, although we haven't spoke about the Bruins in great length the last couple of weeks, but today, as we like to say in simple terms, oh, I got time today. I literally got time today. So we're going to talk about it in length coming up next on the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Free Farm Radio.
Say last night I see you, then kill a youth. Then mama tell me say our church sister Jacqueline just lose her brother over sea view garden. When she tell me judge, I know it mash me up. Nah, tell no lie. But you know say man a tuggy, so you nah go see me cry. Every day and every night she still ask the father why her brother had to die. She hear her voice reply.
When you cry.
Smile.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tusfree Farm Radio. That was an old classic reggae song that I haven't heard in a long time. That was by T.O.K. Remember that song from like, this is from 2005. Yeah, this is going like way, way, way back. But I digress. So, during a large chunk of the final 20 minutes or so, we're going to talk about the Boston Bruins, because like I said before I went to break, haven't had the opportunity to talk about the Bruins in great length over the last couple of weeks. And today's the day where that's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I personally knew that there was going to come a point in time in which that the Boston Bruins were going to hit that proverbial wall. And it's starting to happen. Whether you want to recognize it or not, I got bad news for you. It's happening, and it's showing up in ways where it's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. Now, in this homestand so far, they've lost both games in this homestand before Christmas. Now, after tonight, they still got Washington coming in the house on Monday night. They got the Capitals, who right now are still on top of the NHL standings. Now, I got to ask you this following question. Are you surprised by the recent struggles of the Boston Bruins, or are you more surprised that it's happening now? Now, I'm going to answer this by stating the following. I'm not surprised that it's happening, and I'm not surprised that it's happening now. Allow me to explain. We knew at the start of the regular season that there was going to come a point in time that the Boston Bruins, they was going to start lagging in their play. And it's shown in the last couple of nights. Now, I think it's worth stating and worth saying that for whatever reason, this season in particular, they absolutely blow in the shootout. I don't know any other way to put it except that they absolutely suck. I am tired of seeing this team go to the shootout only to come up empty. I get that, yes, if you're tired at the end of regulation, you do get a point. But as Tory Krug best said it the other night, when you find yourself not being in a position of accepting losing, that one point is not enough. Especially when you leave it, when you should be walking away with 2 points in a lot of these instances. I don't get it. I personally don't get it. Now, some would say, well, Tuesday's game against the Kings was a classic example of Tuca not standing on his head or wherever else you may have it, or, you know, or like the Bruins not doing what they should be doing against the Islanders the other night, although it was a terrifically played game. But yet, on social media, you're seeing, oh, by the way, they're not doing this, they're not doing that, which is true. But I got to ask you the following. We're going to look back at the last 5 games. It goes back to December 11th. They lost to Washington 3-2. They lost to Tampa Bay 3-2. They beat the Panthers 4-2. They lose to the Kings 4-3. And they also lose to to the Islanders 3-2. So to understand this, they've lost how many in the last eight? Seven losses in the last eight games. That's more than enough of a sample size to create concern. So much concern, to, in fact, that Bruce Cassidy has gone out and decided that he was going to completely redo the fourth line. What are you talking about? Well, for tonight's game, here's the news for you. He's going to put in Par Lindholm and Brett Ritchie in for Joaquin Nordstrom and David Backes. So David Backes is being taken out of the lineup. So is Joaquin Nordstrom for Par Lindholm and Brett Ritchie. So what happens to Sean Corrali? He's getting moved over to the left wing. So that's what's happening. I laugh to myself when I see people complaining about the Bruins need this, the Bruins need that, which is true, 100% true. But do you realize it's not as simple as going out and making certain trades because the asking price may not be the best fit for what you really need in terms of the long term and the bigger picture involved? I don't know how many people tend to lose sight of that. I think a lot of people do because of the whole immediate knee-jerk reaction. Throw out the big picture. We need this now. We got to go get it. We got to go get it right now. Yeah, that's what we need to do. But here's the problem. The problem that comes in now is this. Somewhere, somehow, something's going to be lacking. So if it meant that you had to trade away one of your D-men, whether they be here on the big club or you got to trade away one of your prospects down in Providence, congratulations. Now how are you going to replace that? I'll wait, because I don't think anybody has figured that out yet. And I wouldn't be surprised if at some point that if Don Sweeney, if he's going to make another key move between now and the trade deadline in February, I wouldn't be surprised if he went out and got himself another right winger. A right winger that has size and that can add a scoring touch to the top six. Because right now, you're getting absolutely nothing out of your bottom six as it currently stands. Offensively, may I add. I'm talking offensively. Now, I understand guys like Charlie Coyle, he has added a lot in terms of the assist, being a big physical body, and so forth. Here's the kicker. The real kicker is this. When you need those timely goals, what now? Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize that Charlie Coyle has yet to score a goal this season? No, seriously. He is yet to have scored this season. Which blew my mind. That I understand defensively, he's gotten better. I'll give him that. I absolutely will. But here's a kicker. You got nothing offensively out of him. You have not gotten much out of Par Lindholm. You haven't gotten much out of Charlie Coyle, although he is a plus player, as I currently stated, in terms of plus minus rating, he is. But at the same time, it's as if their best work is not showing up in the stat sheet or in the score sheet, so to speak. Amazing, isn't it, right? Now, I'll go as far as this. If you're the Boston Bruins, what happens now? You see that, for example, you see that your bottom six is not doing you much favors in terms of scoring. And you also see how that if you are the Bruins, that you have areas of needs that needs to be addressed, which is understandable completely. But here's the thing. The bigger issue is may or may not be the scoring. Well, what do you mean? It may be the fact that they're tired. And now the question is, between production and productivity, now what do you do? Now what do you do? You can call into the show at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636. I just got an update for those who are listening to the show now. So I'm going to pass this along quickly. The Buffalo Bills are leading the Patriots 3-0 with 7:45 and counting remaining in the first quarter. So it looks like the defense for the Patriots has bend, but they did not break. So with that being said, the Bruins have some question marks right now as it currently stands. You've gotten as much as you possibly can out of the goaltending, but offensively, they worry me. They really do. In terms of physicality, they worry me as well. I just honestly feel that they don't have enough size where they need the size the most. They just don't. I have no idea as to what's going to happen next, what the Bruins are going to do to right the ship, because that's what they need to do in the worst way, and also what Don Sweeney is planning to do in terms of his next course of action, because that's also another thing that I also look at. And we'll see. We still got 2 months from now until the trade deadline, so that is a bit of a ways away. I don't know if it's a product of the guys not responding to the coach. I don't think that's the issue, but I do think is this. In the last year and a half, last season and approaching half the season that the Bruins have played now, how many games have they played so far? Total. Entering tonight's game, the Bruins have played, I could tell you, a grand total, I believe, standings. Ah, here we go. The Bruins have played a grand total of 36 games. Tonight's game will be a grand total of 37. So it's very easy to say right now that the Bruins are hitting, they're approaching the midway mark of the season, regular season that is. So with that being said, is fatigue beginning to set in? Absolutely. But is it an excuse? No. But there is legitimate reason to be concerned. And I will explain this. Now, I made this point to someone earlier in the week. The Bruins played, they're about to play game number 37 tonight. That's this season. Now, looking back on the entirety of last season, they played 82 games, 25-game run to the Stanley Cup Finals, Game 7. So combined between the 82 and the 25, 107 games. Now, 107 games plus now game number 37 they're about to play. They're about to play their 144th game in the last season and a half. That includes regular season and postseason games. And with the short summer. And now I bring this point a very important reason. And as you mentioned, short off season. Short off season has a lot to do with it. That was my concern at the beginning of this season, before the regular season began, the fatigue factor. Allow me to hammer this point again, because it's worth repeating. 144 games combined that the Bruins have played since October of 2018. This is where I'm going to be very bold and say this up front. Fatigue is setting into this team. Considering that they've had a very short off season, mind you, their off season began on June 12th. And when did they report back to training camp? Beginning of September. So they had a little bit more than 2.5 months of rest. 2.5 months, and that's all they had. This is not turning into an excuse. But there was, I remember listening to this discussion a few months back, like during the summer and even the beginning of the fall. The record for teams coming back after a long extended run for the Stanley Cup Finals, not very good. And this is the reason why. Guys have a short off season, and this is exactly what's happening to the Bruins right now. There's your answer. But this isn't the first time that they've done this. True. But may I also remind you of the following. The last time the Boston Bruins went on a deep run like this, they were going to get to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, win or lose, was 2011. The Bruins won the Stanley Cup. But may I also remind you what happened the following season? Fatigue. Tired. The team played well, but they lost in a Game 7 at home against Washington in the 2012 Stanley Cup playoffs in the first round. I don't want to have to remind you about what happened in that game. You guys may remember some guy named Joel Ward who scored the series-winning goal for the Washington Capitals. But the fact of the matter is this. I'm a very firm believer in teams going on extended runs for the Stanley Cup playoffs, Stanley Cup finals, coming back the following year and being very tired physically. And you can say even mentally as well. And there's a reason why before the Pittsburgh Penguins repeated as Stanley Cup champions, it had been nearly 20 years since the NHL has seen a repeat champion. There's a reason why. That's your reason right there. So what the Bruins are going through right now, it's not a matter of they're not responding to Bruce Cassidy. It's not a matter of their inability to execute their skill and so forth. I wholeheartedly believe it's the fatigue factor is starting to really sink in. You can deny, brush off, ignore, blah, 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 blah. You can do all of those things if you so choose to. But the truth of the matter is this. You're not going to play 144 games over the last year and a half and tell me that it's not going to have some kind of effect. And here's the thing. I'm going to be honest with you. Maybe the Christmas break will do the Bruins some good. Maybe. Just maybe. But if this type of play continues into January, that's when you need to start sounding off the alarms. Start sounding them off. Because this is more than just the past 8 games now we're talking about. Now, this stretch of poor play where the Bruins have not looked good in the last 8 games, this is just a rough patch. And this also includes the 4-game losing streak that the Bruins went on as well. So, tonight, the Bruins are home. to take on the Nashville Predators. That's at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock puck drop on Nesson at the Garden. So, whatever you do tonight, be safe. Enjoy the game. Keep it locked in to the Sugar Ride Show until 6 on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tusfee Farm Radio. Coming up next at 5 o'clock sharp, we are going to look back on what has been an absolutely eventful decade in Boston sports. So beginning at 5 p.m. Eastern, keep it locked in here to this show. We're going to look back on what a 10 years has been for Boston in the sports landscape. And I'll tell you right now, certain things are going to evoke certain memories, and I can't wait. Some things you may have forgotten, but I'll help you jog your memory just a little bit. But I can't wait. As this is the last show of 2019 until New Year's Day, and the last show of this decade, I'll tell you this. What a year it's been. What a run it's been. Give me one moment as I'm trying to actually set this up, but it's taking me a little bit longer, so I apologize. But here we go. This is the Shukri Wright Show. And this is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tusfee Farm Radio.
That the physical things define